My name's Mel Herbert, and he's Tom Wolfson. We're going to be talking about the cars, the batteries, the solar panel, the stock price, the man, the myth. We're going to be talking about everything Tesla. Why? Because we're...
Talking Tesla.
Let's do this. Let's make it happen. Let's make Tesla history.
Tom.
What?
It's January.
It is.
What did you do for the holidays? But please make it short.
Nothing.
Really?
Yeah. I spent an inordinate amount of time relaxing in my home.
How do you relax? What do you do?
I sit around and I think about things. No, I didn't do any of that. No, we just hung out. We kicked it. We kicked it.
Is that what the kids
we
say?
We kicked back. We hung out. We didn't have, my wife didn't have any vacation time, really. So she worked most of the time. So we didn't do any car trips or
nothing,
any of that stuff like that. So we just hung out, watched a couple movies, played some Exploding Kittens. It's a good game. They're not sponsoring us, but they could.
Tell us what's happening with the car search. Let me remind people. So Tom wants to get a secondhand S. He's been looking for one. And where are we at?
We are still looking. We're hoping that more and more stock pops up in the new year. That was one of our plans. I've had a couple of listeners send me emails. One sent me a link to his car, which was awesome. I responded to him, and it was beautiful red car, and I really do appreciate the gesture. But we're looking for something a little different. And another guy sent me one that was a D+, performance plus or whatever, and it was much more expensive.
And for the record, those two listeners was Mike Conger and Robert Field. So thanks for helping Tom out with that.
So I didn't get that one. So that's what's going on with the car search. Really nothing. We're looking. I think we're having a little hard time with our trigger finger on some levels, because it's still, we're looking at probably $700 a month for the next 5 or 6 years, which is not nothing.
All right. Well, I want to jump around then, Tom, because we made this little list of the stuff we're going to cover.
Yeah.
But I'm going to jump.
Oh, of course you are, because why wouldn't you?
Because that's the kind of guy I am. Here it is from Teslarati. We love those guys. The Bolt. So they do a little review of the Bolt, not the Volt, but Bolt
the
with
Bolt.
A B.
Yeah, with a B.
So this is Chevy's fully electric EV. 200 miles range, 9 hours to charge. It's probably going to be smaller than the Model 3 by a little bit.
9 hours to charge where?
On a 240-volt charger at home.
That's terrible.
And no gas backup like the Volt. This is a purely electric. The screen looks pretty good. It does have CarPlay and Android Play, so that's all good. It has Wi-Fi 4G. It's pretty zippy. It goes from 0 to 60 in 7 seconds. It's no Tesla. It's not going to do it in 4 seconds or 3 seconds or 2.8 seconds.
Unnecessary.
And it's available in late 2016. But here you go, Tom. Here it is. It's going to be about $35,000 after incentives. So does that car get your twiddly bits twiddling?
It does not. I mean, it doesn't get my twiddly bits. What was the word? Twiddling?
Yes.
I don't know what the hell that means, to be honest
Nobody
with
does.
You. So, no.
Nobody
it doesn't.
Does.
It absolutely does not get my
really?
Twiddly bits
twiddling. That's in your
I mean,
ballpark.
It's
35,000.
Cool,
it's 200 miles.
It's a cool car, but like, I was not thrilled with generation one of the Volt. Mm. I don't love Chevys. It's nothing really against Chevy, it's just they're not for me. They haven't ever been. Like, I'm not a GM car dude.
It's upsetting.
Why is it upsetting? Because how many electric cars do I need, dude? Like, seriously, the Bolt's not coming out until 2017, which is actually an amazing turnaround. No, it's going to be end of 2016.
Yeah, any 2016. Yeah, you're right. So it's really, it's going to be 2017.
Right, so like, I don't have, my wife clearly does not have a year's worth of patience, like, wrapped up inside her.
I'm no genius, but I'm pretty sure Tom's going to get in trouble for that last comment. Look, let's go to The Verge and a review by Chris Ziegler.
So after several laps, many laps, with the Bolt here at Chevy's tent outside Las Vegas Convention Center, I'm not car sick. Quite often when I'm on a track with a high performance car, I make myself car sick. This isn't a high performance car, and it's not an exciting car in that sense of the word, but it's exciting for different reasons, right? It's the first affordable high range EV to hit the market, or will very likely be, assuming that GM makes its launch target of the end of 2016. And I think that it still can be very fun for the driver in many ways. The infotainment system is legitimately one of the better ones that I've used. The car on the road still feels fast. It's just not lightning quick. There is a sense of EV-ness to it, where when you hit the accelerator, the acceleration is instantaneous. I need a lot more time with it to be able to say it's any good, but my first impression is positive. So we'll see later this year. Hopefully we'll have a full review up before the car is actually on the road.
I will tell you this, I saw the i3 in person in the mall.
Yes.
It's actually growing on me little bit.
But yes,
I had maybe the worst experience with two straight representatives, let's call them. I said, what's the connector? I said, does it have the J1772 connector? And he was like, well, you can plug it into the wall. Like, what?
Hello?
Excuse me,
has
sir?
It, has it got a Chattanooga?
Are you electric car representative? So that was a little bit disconcerting, and I couldn't get in it. Like, he didn't have the ability to open it. What are you doing? Why are you doing this?
Yeah. Well, I've driven a i3 when they first came out.
Do you like it?
Yeah, it's a nice little car.
Yeah.
But it's just got those weird doors. That's why.
And I think the Bolt looks just like it, honestly. And it's got
It's got real doors. That was the key thing for the i3. It's got the suicide door. You're going to have to open the front door to get in the back.
Right.
But the Bolt has real doors. Here's the other problem I have with the Bolt.
All right.
The supercharger network. It turns out, like, if you're really going to drive long distances, that supercharger network with the Tesla and the fast charging, it's kick ass.
Yeah.
Because the Bolt doesn't have that. If I'm driving somewhere a long way, I don't want to plug in for 9 hours.
9 hours is ridiculous. I don't even that's much slower than even my car. Like, it's not even that's what does that work out to? It's like less than 20 miles an hour?
It's 25 miles an hour approximately.
So I guess that's what my car does. It's just got less range, so it doesn't take as long. Like, you can't charge the thing for 9 hours. Yeah. That's silly.
So let's round out this little discussion
then.
The Model 3, it is now official. They're unveiling it in March.
I can't wait to get my invitation.
And they say that they're going to do pre-orders in March.
I can't wait to get my invitation.
And they're going to do production in 2017.
It will be 2018.
And so you're not getting a Model 3 either because you can't
I don't
wait
think
that
so.
Long.
I mean, it could maybe the Model 3 will replace the RAV at that point.
Okay, let's get back to where we're supposed to be going. The SpaceX
Which is
launch.
Where?
The SpaceX launch.
Oh my God, that was amazing.
So
launch and landing. Let's call it launch and landing.
Yep. So the first successful launch and landing of a first stage rocket that went into orbit. And so I just sort of threw a little bit of audio in there for the last one because it was going off to the manufacturers.
Yeah, that was cool.
And let me do a couple of quotes here about the significance of this flight. First of all, from spaceflightnow.com, former NASA administrator Mike Griffith said this: further, the demonstration of supersonic retrograde propulsion, restarting an engine in supersonic flight and using it to fly back home, is important to the future attempts to land large, heavy payloads onto Mars. This was a marvelous test flight, the first step along an important road. And John Logsdon, a space historian, said this: the successful landing could be very significant. Could be very significant. And the conditional is because we have yet to see what's required to refurbish and relaunch this stage. It is an important first step. You can't relaunch until you recover. So showing you can recover is a big deal. The importance of this is Elon has said it's like $60 million to make that first stage.
Right.
And it's analogous to saying, every time I fly my 747 to New York, I take the 747 and I trash it. Then I fly another one back home. If you can reuse the 747, of course, the cost of that flight is going to go way down. He's saying that because I can now reuse the $60 million part.
Theoretically.
Then it's going to be really cheap. But you're right, because other people have said, well, let's wait and see to how much money you have to put in to really refurbish it, to fill it back up. Because he's saying that there's maybe going to be a reduction in cost by 100-fold. Other people are saying, let's wait and see, Elon.
Right, because there's things. There's a lot of firsts in engineering, you know, that have happened with this rocket. No one has ever done this. So it's really the first time that anybody's ever been like, everybody's been like, let's try to reuse a rocket. But it's the first time anybody's ever had a rocket to look at to try to reuse, right? NASA did it with those external tanks, but those were tanks. They weren't rockets. Totally different situation.
Yes.
They don't think that they're going to be able to salvage all of the engines. They don't think they're going to be able to salvage the center engine, which was the main landing engine, for whatever reason. I don't know if it's because of stressors on it. you know, I've read varying things about it. So it's, but it's a fascinating feat of engineering. And one thing I did read that I think is actually pretty interesting is, so let's say you're now the engineer and you're in charge of like refurbishing this thing, and you see wear points, right, in certain specific places. All you have to do is focus your engineering on over-engineering those wear points, and those become less wear points in the next iteration of it, right? So you can say, take an area that has an O-ring, and if the O-ring's kind of a little eh, or whatever it is, the seat's a little eh, then you just over-engineer that part to hold up to the additional stresses of multiple launches or whatever. And even they think that maybe the best case scenario is 8 or 9 uses, which is still a lot. I mean, that's a big difference. So those things are cool. I think it's amazing. Now, did you know this particular rocket is not going to fly again?
No. Are they just going to cut it up and
No, this test particular it? Rocket, because they call it, this has been, it's like a, it's a historical sort of rocket. Right?
Oh, nothing's ever happened, ever right?
First one ever do it. So this particular booster, my guess is Smithsonian Air and Space, here we come, and it'll be up in there, and that'll be a nice sort of advertising for SpaceX because it's got the logo on the side of it. But they're not going to fly this rocket. They are going to test fire it. They're going to refurbish it, put it on a launch, put it on a pad, and refire it to see, you know, can it refire? That would be terrible.
They're not going to look good at this. They're
like, abort, abort, abort. Sorry.
Yeah, there's another thing going on here, Tom, and it's a little, it's funny.
What's
so you got your Jeff Bezos, and he's got his little group, and they're called, what are they called?
Blue
Origin.
Origin.
And they fired a rocket up into the air, and then they landed it.
And now they're all bent out of shape in their underpants.
And there's a little peeing match between Elon and him. And so Bezos tweets out, oh, welcome to the club. You re-landed your rocket. And then Elon's like, yeah, we're the first people to send it into space and re-land it, big fella. So there's a little bit of a peeing match there. I kind of like it. It's kind of like the Cold War.
It's cute.
But without all the Cuban Missile Crisis stuff. Right. And it's between two private companies.
The Cold
Go
War for...
Go at it, boys. Go at it.
The Cold War for billionaire babies. Get over it.
They're not babies.
They're babies. They're both being babies about it. I mean, it's cool. It's awesome. But, like, let's lift all the boats up. Let's not be petty about it. Let's just do our thing.
I just like it when people fight and have billions of dollars and they're in competition.
Right, yeah.
It's kind of
cute.
Cool.
It's cute. I mean, you know, I mean, Elon could be like, hey, Jeff, why don't you have a company that makes money? I mean, whatever. But he doesn't do that.
Damn.
Okay. I mean, come on. Seriously.
Shut up. Amazon is the greatest company in the world.
That doesn't make money.
That I don't care. I never have to leave home to get my stuff.
Jeff's like, we'll just keep building new stuff. And new. Although I found the best use for Amazon Prime Now. Do you use Prime Now ever?
Prime Now.
Prime Now is like the 2-hour delivery window part of Amazon. It's its own app. Oh,
I've
my God.
I've used it
a couple of times. It's like Amazon Fresh, but better. So I was home all week, sick. And my cat was like, meow, meow, meow. And I had no cat food, and I didn't even have like a can of tuna in there to open up for him. So I was like, I wonder if cat food. Yeah, so I clicked on cat food, and I got all this stuff. I got a couple boxes of tissues and cat foods. 2 hours later, Amazon Prime driver, ding dong, bags of stuff. It's pouring rain. I didn't have to leave my house. It was the best ever. There's a little map on the phone. You can be like, your order is now left, and you can see where the factory.
It's like the Uber of.
You can see where the warehouse is, right? Where the warehouse is in, and then you could watch the little dot, and I could see, and it was pouring rain, and I could see which way the driver went, and I was like, oh, he shouldn't have gone that way. And sure enough, because my streets flood, sure enough, like, I watched him turn back around and go the other direction.
How do I not know about this?
I don't know, because you live in a hole.
Yeah, but that's why I should know about it, because if you live in a hole, you need
this.
So
it's like a limited offering. They have frozen foods, prepared foods, fresh produce. They have electronics. They have beach stuff. They have winter stuff. So it's actually, it's pretty cool. I got, so let me give you my shopping list. I got some honey because I needed tea.
Oh, yeah. Sick. I got honey.
I got some Pop-Tarts because I needed some Pop-Tarts. I got a couple boxes of tissues because I was all drippity-drippity. And I got the cat food. Everybody was happy. It was awesome.
What's it called again?
Amazon Prime Now.
Let me get
there's
this
an
is,
app.
This is another rat hole, but just a quick aside. Amazon basically makes
everything.
No money, even though it delivers everything.
Uh-huh.
Here's what's going to happen.
Uh-huh.
Every store in the United States is going to go broke.
Uh-huh.
Every mall.
Uh-huh.
And then Bezos is going to say, I told you. And they're going to make $1 trillion after they all close.
Yeah, no, eventually, all Bezos has to do, he's got two knobs in his office. One says, spend money. Yes. And one says, don't spend money. And he keeps the spend money one. It's open all the way, right? It's open all the way. And that's where all the revenue goes, right? The potential profits mm-hmm. into the spend money. I'm going to build rockets, and I'm going to build, I don't know, server farms and satellites, and I'm going to do all this other stuff. And all he has, if he turns that off, the other one is just going to explode with money. There's going to be there's so much potential profit there. Even if his margins are 2 or 3% of selling everything we buy in America is a lot of money.
It's a lot of sense.
Yeah, it's exciting.
It's even changed. It's changed everybody I know.
Are we talking Amazon now? Is that what's happening?
Talking Amazon? That's our new show. I just want to say that over the holiday period,
yeah,
people who were very traditional go to the mall people.
Uh-huh.
Not go to the mall. Malls, hell. You stay home and you get Amazon. All right. Let's talk folding seats, Tom. So as you remember.
Folding seats?
Yeah.
But in what context? Because some cars don't have folding seats.
Wow, you're a little... So the Model X, I configured my Model X.
Uh-huh.
I was, you know, get it for the wife. And then she goes, I'm not so sure about this Model X. I'm really worried about those seats. And so why don't you get that X and then we'll talk about whether I want to keep it or you're going to keep it. And the problem with that is, Thomasina, I just got my second email saying configure your second X. So I got an X. I was number 3,400 something.
Mm-hmm.
So I configured that. I'm getting that one for sure. But mm-hmm. then like... I'm also 17,000 on the list. I put another deposit down for another one, thinking what's going to happen is I'm going to get my X, we're going to drive around, and uh-huh. if we like it, then I'll get a second X and I'll get rid of the S, right?
Yeah.
You following this?
Uh-huh.
But I expected there'd be like 6 months between having to configure, and they're like saying, configure your other one, number 17,000 right now. What do I do?
I can't buy two cars
I've never seen before.
I believe it's because people are canceling.
They're not canceling that many.
They're not canceling that many, but there must be a reason behind it, right? Either they're trying to shore up their logistics to see like what – maybe what they're trying to do is see is whatever percentage of cancellations they're getting now carrying over. I still think at the end of the day, no matter how much people want these things, there's a very small subset of human beings that are willing to drop $100,000 on something they've never driven, seen, touched, felt, any of the senses,
yeah.
smelled.
Well, I'm one of those. I will do it once, but I'm not getting two of
right,
them.
Yeah. Like,
so I don't know what to do.
Maybe you should, and then if you really don't like the first one, you know, I don't know. Maybe
Tom.
It's like a gift.
I don't know.
Like, I've done a lot of things for you.
So this folding seat
thing, you can give it to Micah.
So because of that folding seat thing, you've got a thing in here about are canceling because of that.
Yeah, yeah. So I've been looking on that Model X tracker thing that we talk about every once in a while, where people talk about the Model X tracker and it shows deliveries and it shows orders and it shows reservations and all that stuff. So on the Model X tracker, there's a new slot that says canceled, right? And
yes.
there have been 24 cancellations on yeah. that list. And there's on the very far right column, there's a place for reasons,
yes.
right? And if you rock your little cursor over those reasons, a thing will pop up. There's only four people who have put a note in as to why.
Okay.
Three out of the four, 100% folding seats. No folding seat, I'm not buying it. That was like three out of the four.
Fascinating.
Of the ones that were notes. The fourth one was a signature, and he canceled because they didn't want the P90D version. They just wanted to get like a standard. They didn't want to have to go full blown, which is what all the SIGs are. So
we don't know how many people are canceling, and we don't know how many people who canceled do it because of the folding seat. But clearly the folding seat is an issue for a number of people. We have empiric evidence to that fact.
Right. It's an issue for a number of people. It's an issue for you on a lot of levels, right? Because that's the reason your wife is
exactly.
sort of hesitant. So,
and these three people, it was their reason. So I get it. Until we see this thing.
Right.
People are going to be like, it's a lot of money for us, and I'm not sure I'm going to like the back seat.
Right.
The middle seat.
And my guess is if they're getting that kind of feedback in large numbers, if we see
a folding seat,
we will know that they have heard from a lot more people.
They've heard from Tom. X Model 2 folding seat.
It could just be, honestly, like it could, it's that car. obviously, you know, they're customizable. They've built 400 or 500 of them. They've delivered half of those. Like, they could get a new seat. There's probably somebody working on a folding seat right now, to be completely frank with you.
I think Elon is staying up late doing that as we speak.
I think Elon's probably pissed off at that guy every time he walks by his office. He's like, God, why'd I have to hire Johnny Folding Seats? I like those seats. Stupid Americans.
Johnny Folding Seats is not his name. All right, let's keep moving
here. It might
be. We've got a lot to get through, Tom, and we've really been talking for a long time.
Yeah, but you can cut that whole Amazon thing out.
That is true.
That's not any part of this show. So.
Okay, the Supercharger Nightmare at the Tejon Ranch. Here's what's happened.
Yeah.
It's December 26th here in the United States. Just north of Los Angeles, about 40, 50 miles, is the Tejon Ranch Supercharger. There is a big mountain range that's outside LA. So, or as you're coming into LA, there's a big mountain range.
It's both.
It's both.
In and out.
It does.
It's not just a one-way mountain range.
So they are very smart to put a supercharger at the bottom of that mountain range. So if you're coming into LA and then they've got the big mountain, you're like, I'm not sure I've got enough charge to get all the way home.
Yeah.
Pop into the Tejon Ranch, give it a good charge.
Yeah.
Zip up the
hill. How many slots are at Tejon, do we know? I think it's 6.
You and I have been there a number of times. I think it's about 8.
Okay.
And so here was the perfect storm that occurred. There were waiting times of over an hour and a half for that supercharger. On that date, because they said there was lots of diversions because there was lots of raining and other things going on. And so almost everybody was going up the 5 freeway.
Right.
There was lots of wind. It was extraordinarily low temperature of this part of the world. And all of that together meant that everybody was going to the supercharger to get a little extra juice and huge delays.
And now, a lot of people traveling that don't normally travel, right? Because it's a holiday,
big
right?
Travel
big,
day.
Big travel day.
So it turned into a multi-hour wait for some people nightmare. And this is my greatest fear, is as we get more and more of these Teslas, I do not want to wait an hour and a half to fill up my Tesla.
No, you don't want to wait an hour and a half to wait an hour to fill up your Tesla.
I do not want to wait to wait.
Yeah.
And so this is very concerning. Now, they've already said, Tesla has come out and said, yes, this was a perfect storm of badness.
Yeah.
We're going to put a bunch more stalls at that particular place if this happens again.
And also what they'll probably do is they'll do some more of those temporary ones during what they feel will be high traffic. Like, my guess is, we talked about this, I think, a little bit, they could put like a supercharger network kind of on a semi and bring it to a place where they already have the electrical infrastructure in place, figure out some way to plug it in, and then you have a bunch of extra sort of superchargers available in like high traffic areas at high peak times. God, I should work for Tesla. I don't know. What am I doing?
I don't know. You sort of do work for Tesla for free right now.
No, I work for you for free.
So the good thing is that they sent out a representative and they gave out free coffee and they said, we're sorry.
Yeah, you think that would have made you feel good? Do you like coffee, Mel?
I hate coffee, but I would have liked, at least they're here, they're listening, they can see this is a problem. So I like that. But let's go further then.
I wish I would have known it was happening because, oh my God, we could have got some amazing tape up there.
Oh my gosh. I wasn't in the country, but it would have been really cool.
That would have been incredible.
So let's talk about
Superchargers,
Tom, and the incredible exploding car.
So I don't know if you people saw this photo. There was a Tesla at a supercharger. I hear it was one of those temporary superchargers, right? Which we took some pictures
believe,
of.
Yes.
And then the guy plugged it in and then probably went and grabbed some Ebel Skeevers or something like that. I don't know.
Ebel Skeevers, they're good.
It was in Norway. Isn't that a Norwegian thing?
I don't know.
I have no idea.
I do like a good Ebel Skeever.
All I know is the word Ebel Skeever is funny, so I'm just going to go with it. So the guy went and grabbed himself some Ebel Skeevers and probably like a cup of tea. And when he came back, his car had melted. And it turns out, I don't know, they don't know exactly what happened, but when the fire department showed up, they were like, oh, this car's on fire, let's pour water on it. That is apparently not a good thing to do with a battery. That made it mooey hotter, as it would be. This car is seriously melted, and I did a search on the internet for car fires, right? And and you look at all these car fires, and they're burned to a crisp, but they're not melted. This Tesla was melted to the ground. Like, you could see, like, melted aluminum door panels. Find this picture. We'll put the link up on the show notes.
It was
melted. Oh, my God. It's amazing. Spectacular.
It was like fairy floss. What do you call it here?
I don't know what the
What's
hell that
fairy
means.
Fairy floss in this country called?
Cotton candy.
Cotton candy.
It was like, somebody had a cotton candy car and poured water on it. It's like, wow.
Yeah, it was amazing. And then they ended up, you know, they were like, oh, that was a bad idea. Let's put some foam on it. It's an electrical fire. And they put it out. And I think that guy needs a new Tesla.
Yeah, I think so.
And Tesla needs a new supercharger because that thing got burned to a crisp.
We actually talked about this on the last episode where we were talking about the safety of these batteries. And this is why we theoretically we could charge this thing in 5 minutes and we can get 1,000 miles, and we don't do that because of exactly this.
Don't take the safeties off my car. I'm not interested.
Last episode we said take them off. This episode we're like, no there's
can
a reason.
You put some more on. I don't want to melt, dude.
You know, another one that the things we were talking about was that the way the battery is encased, it's encased in stuff that's very flammable.
Yeah.
Oh, it's flammable.
Yeah. It turns out it's muy flammabilo. Like, I don't know. Like, it looks like it's weird because I bet the fire must have started like in the battery and just sort of radiated out. Yep. It didn't explode, but it got hot.
Damn. So they are investigating and we'll see. Obviously, a one-off occurrence, not a big deal. You get a couple more of these, people are going to be like, hang on a second, it's going to get investigated. But it's also important to remember that other people have said there are people who are filling up their car, and there are car fires frequently, but there are uncommon but very well described fires at gas stations under very similar circumstances. Yeah. I went to get my Ebel Skibas in my gas car, and I came back and my car's on fire. So it happens. Yeah. It turns out that energy is flammable in various forms. I hope that this is not a manufacturing issue. I hope this is
just
a one-off.
It's not. It's going to just be like something weird happened, like one weird computer glitch or whatever it is. And cars catch on fire. Again, I Googled car fire. There was not one photo for me to reference. There were hundreds of thousands of pages of car fire photos, including like giant freeway 100 cars on fire kind of situations, right? There have been other Teslas that caught on fire. If they're not attached to a supercharger, they tend to not melt. but, you know, and they have like normal car fire things. But, you know, again, a car fire is not a car explosion. You can get out of a car. You're like, oh, something's on fire. I should get out.
Oh, is that what you did?
Yeah. That's like a normal thing. Like if you're in your house, something's on fire, you're like, oh, I'm going to try to put it out. I was unsuccessful. Now I'm going to leave. And not die.
I want to die with my Tesla. I love it that much.
That's good.
I'm staying with you, Tesla.
Hey, Micah. are you listening to this crazy person?
Oh, yeah.
You're going to get the whole kingdom, buddy, because he's going to be like, I'm not leaving the Tesla.
All right, let's talk Hyperloop.
Hyperloop is happening.
Hyperloop is happening. Here is some audio from the Hyperloop site.
Hyperloop's a fifth mode of transport. We're building a full-length tube between any two destinations, and then we'll send things really, really fast.
Hyperloop's going to allow people to travel from Los Angeles to San Francisco in 30 minutes.
Our target pod speed is around 750 miles per hour.
It's going to bring the world closer together.
Live anywhere, work anywhere, and be anywhere.
Change the way that people interact with other people.
Here at Hyperloop, we're all about speed. We build things faster than any other team does in the world.
This is what engineers are designed to do, push the boundaries.
When you get this many smart people together in a room, great things come out of it.
And it's not in some large timeline. This is a reality. We're talking about having full-scale test loops.
The reality is here in downtown Los Angeles.
Hyperloop is here.
Hyperloop is here.
Hyperloop is here.
Hyperloop is here.
Which Hyperloop site?
This
HPT or HTT?
This is the one in LA. Hyperloop, it's called Hyperloop Technology. They're in LA, and they're moving along, and there are some pictures. Again, we'll put up some on our website of actual tubes.
Yeah.
They've made tubes, and it looks like by the end of this year, they're going to be having a prototype that's going to get up to 700 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Boom.
What an interesting thing that I noticed about those tubes. So in all of the pictures and renderings we've seen, they're like these space-age glass tubes and pods, right, that you could see out of while you're going 700 miles an hour. That's not what they're going to. They look like oil pipeline tubes. They are dark, dark, dark. It is amazing.
Look, it's a prototype.
Yeah.
It's just a tube.
It's cool. They're moving forward with it. That community up in Fresno is moving forward with it. You know what's going to be fascinating is where is the X point where Hyperloop meets the California Rail Authority, and they go, well, we should probably stop doing this. Like, is there, do you think that the technology is going to happen fast enough to avoid that $70 billion taxpayer boondoggle? Because what's going to be really funny is if there's a high-speed train and right next to it is a Hyperloop track, going much, much farther fast, much faster.
I feel very confident that the California government is going to be so slow in getting this ridiculously expensive trade done that they will stop and go, oh my God, the Hyperloop is way better and faster. Like,
what's the time frame? Okay, high-speed trains have been around for decades, and we've had the money for 10 years, and we still haven't built a test track. Elon thought about Hyperloop 2 years ago, and they're building it.
I know. Like, it's so amazing.
Like, that's the difference between what governments do and what private companies can do.
In another article about Hyperloop, there is a guy that said this.
Shervin Pishavar knows a thing or two about disruptive tech. He was one of the first to invest in Uber and is a board member of Hyperloop Technologies.
The proof point was when in Kitty Hawk, North Carolina, they actually, you know, for the first time achieved human flight in an airplane. For us, our Kitty Hawk moment is building our test track, 3 mile test track, and doing that by the end of 2016 and hitting over 700 miles per hour with our system.
And Pishavar says Hyperloop won't be limited to just moving people.
The top 15 cargo ships in the world pollute the world more than all the cars in the world combined. That's a billion cars. And so you have a cleaner, more efficient, and less expensive solution.
And he just said that the 15 biggest cargo ships pollute more than all the world's cars.
That's a lot, but those things have big engines, and they also carry 100,000 cars at a time.
This is just sort of a preview. I'm actually got this guy via email, and I'm going to do an interview with him. But I sort of did a quick fact check, and the quick fact check says, yeah, the top 15 cargo ships pollute more than a billion cars. That brings up lots of questions about, oh my God, what are they burning? How often are they burning? I've got so many questions.
Electric cruise ships or electric cargo ships?
That's what we need.
How big of a battery would that take?
It would be large.
What kind of a factory would you need to build a battery for a cruise ship? So a gigafactory builds batteries for cars. Is it a clumagiga? What's the next thing?
It's a penta.
A penta factory? That'd be sweet.
I'm going to jump forward here. We're going to talk about Faraday Future. So we've been hearing about this company for like 18 months. They're some sort of company. They stole some Tesla dudes. They're mostly backed by a large Chinese company, actually apparently the Chinese Amazon equivalent. And
Alibaba?
Something like that. They have $1 billion from these dudes that they're going to build a Las Vegas production facility. And they came out at CES and showed their car. And people have been waiting to see this concept car. The concept car looks like Batmobile.
Silly. You know what? People get on me for being all ranty about that I don't like. I don't like it. It was stupid. I think it sets the whole electric car program back.
Wow.
Because, like, everybody's been excited that another company's a big company with a lot of money behind it, a new company with a new way of thinking about cars, was getting into the market to compete with Tesla, to push Tesla, to drive Tesla. We all know that competition makes everybody better, right? But then they show up at freaking CES with the Batmobile with one seat in it, and it's ridiculous. Like, show us your car. If you have a car, show us the car. We're, you know, like the modularity, like there's a video on their website that shows the modularity of their chassis, which I think is actually amazing. So, like, you know, a lot of car companies build chassis and put several different models on top of that same chassis. Faraday is doing the same kind of thing. So they can put a crossover, they can take it, make it longer, make it shorter. And I think that aspect of it is genius. But, like, let's not treat everything like it's the Iron Man freaking movie. Like, let's make a freaking car. Show us the car. You have a car. We know you do. You've been testing it for safety and all these other things. What are you waiting for? This was your chance.
Wow, you really upset at them. So what you're saying is that this concept car, well, actually the guy himself said at one of the interviews, oh, the car we actually ship's not going to look really much like this. So what's the point? Why did you make us wait? Right. Why all the hype?
Right.
And actually, Matt Burns, who was interviewing, was kind of doing a little Tom on him. He's like, really, guys? Oh, you're saying this is the most miraculous brand new car in the world? And really what you're doing here is the same as what everybody else doing, and you just overhyped it. So right, I'm a little angry at you.
Yeah, right.
Just like Tom's angry.
And like I'm saying, like the interviewer was a bit of a jerk, but I don't think it was completely unwarranted because the company made a strategic choice. When you make a choice to do something and another person has an opinion about that being a bad idea, then you're going to have to deal with the consequences of that. And that's what he did. He had no answers. The guy asked him, this is a basic question, when will it go on sale? The answer that guy gave, this is a direct quote, depends on your definition of a sale. What the hell? Like, are you kidding me? And so we'll deliver in 2 years, but we might start selling it before that. So it's the Tesla model of obviously the reservation and the whole thing. Wouldn't share the range. They have, again, there's a great video on the website where it talks about the battery. The batteries are built like modular, so they can kind of attach same as Tesla's doing for safety and all kinds of thing. But again, like they have such amazing, I would have much rather them come to CES with just the chassis in three different configurations, right? And shown physically that you can take the same components and make four different cars out of it. Like, this will fit a truck, this will fit a thing. I don't even care if you make one and put a Volkswagen like Beetle on top of it. Whatever it is, like, let's just show what you're doing instead of like the stupid single seater. It's ridiculous, in my opinion. Right. as you can hear.
We have 2 minutes left before I have to go onto my call.
What?
So we're going to let you finish off. Do you have a fun fact or anything?
I don't have a fun fact, but I do have the VW solution. Heard about the Elon VW solution.
I think this is a good place to end. This is a good place to end. You know why?
Why?
Because it was your idea.
It was my idea. And again, I will say, why am I not working for Elon? What is happening? So he came out with a group of other very smart thinking people with like a 6-point thing. Don't have Volkswagen fix the cars, which I didn't want Volkswagen to not fix the cars. So that part of it's a little bit of a tweak. But to make the fines go towards building out infrastructure, building another version of electric cars, make Volkswagen be serious about fixing the problem because they are not on board at this point with the electric car revolution. So let's bring them into the electric car revolution. And Elon, couple weeks after I said it, apparently he's listening to the podcast.
Apparently.
Came up with this thing. And because, I mean, it wasn't just Elon, it was a bunch of people, but still, like, that was a big part of it.
Yeah, it was like 100 clean energy CEOs who said, rather than have all of these fines and retrofitting all these cars, which in the end are a small percentage of the number of cars on the road, take this $20 billion. And build electric cars and infrastructure. And I think it's a brilliant idea. Do you think it's going to happen, though, Thomas?
I don't know. I mean, I think that Volkswagen, well, they already came up with the solution. So my guess is probably not. But there's still going to be fines. And California, the regulators, can still decide how those fines are used, right? They could take 100% of those fines, build a public charging infrastructure side by side of the superchargers up and down the coast. Not the same thing because obviously the cars don't take the same charge, but it's something. You know what I'm saying? Like a little more infrastructure to move the thing forward. We don't have time to talk about the power walls, so we'll hold it for next week.
Yes.
It'll be a teaser. The power wall is coming.
Dun, dun, ding. Thank you, Thomas. It was good time. Thank you, Micah.
Micah.
He was doing our switching for our video, which is a very poorly thought through idea.
You people will never see any of that.
But we are working on the concept of making more visuals available for the podcast. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, his name is Tom Wolfson.
That is true.
My name is Mel Hood.
That is also true.
This is Talking Tesla.
That is true as well.
Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Why? Because we're
talking Tesla.